Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him, unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yet the faith which is by him hath given him perfect soundness of the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did this, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. May the Lord bless the reading of this chapter. Let us all kneel before the Lord in prayer. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends of truth, and every single one of us who were able to assemble this day, this morning, I believe the Lord, through this chapter that we have read, wants to encourage us, wants to show us through Holy Spirit the things that were done in the early church soon after Jesus Christ's crucifixion and raising and ascending back to heaven, that we could take example of what was going on, what was happening between apostles, between the church. And we have a beautiful example here of a miracle that happened at the beautiful gate, where the man who was lame from his birth, he never walked, was brought to this gate that he would beg for money, beg for mercy, for anything that anyone would be willing or able to give that would help maybe his life, since he couldn't work, obviously. But as he was sitting here and as he was begging, he experienced something that he never hoped for. He never could imagine actually could happen to him. We see in verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asks an alms. And Peter, fastening his eye upon him with John, said, look on us. So as soon as he got their attention, he heard these words, look on us. And I'm sure he was glad in his heart that this is probably going to be someone who's going to be helping him with silver or gold, whatever he could get few pennies. But the words that he heard next was something that brings me to wonder what was going through his mind. What was going through his heart? Peter said, silver and gold have I none. So maybe there was a little deflating moment in those few words for him. But such as I have, give I thee. And the next words, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I can just imagine that these words sounded so unbelievable to him. These words would sound so unbelievable to each and every one of us if you never experienced to stand on our feet and hear something like this. And not only that, he said, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He was able to walk very next moment. And not only walk, not only stand on his feet, but he was able to jump. He was able to leap. He was able to walk. This was a true miracle, as we most of us understand that if someone didn't walk for 40 years, this is what next chapter says, how old this man was, over 40 years. Or if he goes through any surgeries that our feet or our hands or any of our parts of our bodies are disabled. If you have to, we know if we go through surgery, we have to go through different kinds of therapies, rehabilitations to grow the muscle again, to get strength in those bones, in those joints. This was absolute miracle that happened to this man. And we can just imagine him jumping and singing throughout the temple. the joy that was in his heart. That joy he was not ashamed to display. That was bringing everyone's attention. It says there was over 5,000 people there. We can imagine the awe that was in all these people, and everyone is looking at Peter and John, and they must have been thinking same thing that people have been thinking. I think Apostle Paul when he did something similar, that they thought he was a god, that they were gods that were sent from heaven, and was it Jupiter and Mercury? They even named them Jupiter and Mercury, and started to bring them animals to sacrifice to their honor. Peter and John saw the surprise in these people's eyes, and they took this opportunity to testify that this is not them, that they are just men, just everyone, just like everyone else, and who they are doing this miracles through, whose power they're doing this, that is Jesus Christ. And we witnessed three miracles in three different lives last Sunday in our two new brothers and sisters' lives. Miracles that they were lame. They were in a bondage of sin. They were unworthy and they were unable to do anything on their own. But Jesus Christ touched their hearts. Jesus Christ invited them. He accepted them and helped them through their faith. To become brothers and sisters of our dear Savior. And I believe if we ask them today, if we ask them last week, they would be able to say that they would be gladly willing to give their lives if they need to. The joy in the heart that happens with a forgiveness of sin, with a conversion, is something that we cannot understand. Many of us experienced, many of us, all of us that converted, that were baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, we should understand that. Maybe experience that, but it's something that we cannot even explain how does it feel. We sang last Sunday out of hymn number 209. And I just want to read two verses, verse 2 and verse 3. It says, "Oh, now it is done. No more freedom have I, because in Emmanuel's bondage I lie." No more freedom? What did we get ourselves into? Is this how we feel? Is this what is it all about? I gave my life to Jesus, and now I don't have any freedoms because I lie in his bondage. The second part of verse says this: "What freedom? Before I as captive did pine, the world's slave and Satan's, now Jesus is mine. And now it is done, with true freedom endued, from sin and guilt I am redeemed and renewed. The spirit of evil doth govern mankind, in Christ the believers their liberty find." If I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. If I receive that name above all names into my life, as I identify as Jesus Christ's follower, and if I feel like I'm robbed of all the freedoms I had, I'm on the wrong path, dear ones. If I feel like I'm bonded now to Jesus, to Emmanuel, I have a problem in my life. This is where freedom comes from, Jesus Christ. The freedom that is explained in Galatians 5, I believe, in the first part of chapter, that we receive with submitting ourselves into His will and His power. Freedom that we should use to His honor and glory, that we should, whatever we go through in our lives, we should always have that sense of liberty in our lives, in our hearts, that peace, that joy, that even if you go through struggles and difficulties, that there is nothing that can rob that thing away from us. The freedom that we freedom that we receive when we give our lives unto Jesus Christ. And this is what I believe this man was feeling. This is what I believe we were all feeling when we gave our lives to Jesus. Did anything change? Did I wish sometimes that maybe I should have waited a little bit longer to enjoy life on this earth to full potential? Or did we really believe, dear ones, that giving our lives unto Jesus is a true freedom, is something that we cannot even explain? Everyone was amazed what happened with this man, and it has been probably something that had never seen before. Never seen a man who was lame for 40 years, all of a sudden, not only standing, but walking, jumping, praising God. Peter and John used this opportunity to spread the gospel. They used every opportunity they had to spread the gospel, to tell the people who were denying Christ, who were voting against, who were voting to crucify Jesus, who were in the crowds yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." Even if Pilate didn't want to, he didn't feel right to do it. But again, it had to happen because this is why Jesus Christ came down to this earth. He came down because he loved us. If he didn't bring sacrifice for our sins, our lives would be lost. If he didn't raise up on the third day, our faith would be in vain. Everything would be done for nothing. Jesus Christ loved us. He gave his life. But the people who denied him, the whole nation that denied him, except few that stuck with him, must have been very heartbreaking for their Savior. And we might be thinking we were not there at that time. We are as guilty as they were as well. As we mentioned a couple sermons ago, that We deny Jesus Christ every time we sin, every time we do things that are not according to his will, every time we go against him, every time we lie, every time we see something that we shouldn't. We dishonor him. We deny him. And therefore, we're all guilty of that big sin. So Peter and John took this opportunity to testify. Verse 12 says like this, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power and holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." So he told him the truth. He was not shying away of hurting their feelings, perhaps. He just told them what happened. He brought the truth before them. And someone needed to do it because we know that Pharisees and rulers, they had to pay the guards at the grave to lie that Jesus Christ actually didn't rise up as he was saying he was going to. But the disciples came during nights when they were asleep and stole the body. So this is maybe the truth they knew. This is the truth they were told. But Peter and John are telling them the real truth here. What happened? And also that this is who through whose power they are doing these miracles. And that's not the only miracle that happened, actually. It said, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, who ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all." The faith this man had, this lame man had, was able not to heal him only from his not being able to walk, but I believe he received healing for his soul as well. The faith that we need to have to our Lord and Jesus Christ will help us follow him. The faith we have is going to save us. If we waver and if we're not sure, if you're not really sure if God can actually cleanse, or Jesus Christ's blood can actually cleanse such a great sin I was in before I was a believer. It's not going to be able to because I don't believe it. But he tells us there's nothing. No sin is greater. No sin can be greater than the blood of Jesus Christ. He's able to cleanse us for every sin. We heard on Wednesday about another miracle that happened in a pool of Bethesda. What did Jesus Christ tell him? Verse 14 of John chapter 5. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in a temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. Once we are healed, once we accepted Jesus Christ, once we have gotten baptized into this his death and resurrection, dear ones, Jesus Christ is commanding us not to sin no more, lest anything worse can happen to us. In the temple, there was a miracle that many people were witnessed of. There have also been Pharisees and rulers that came and did not like what they saw. Like we mentioned, a lot of money was paid to lie that Jesus Christ was actually stolen, not resurrected from dead. And here he sees same people who are doing miracles and claiming that they are doing this through the power of the one who was dead and who they crucified. They used another opportunity to testify of him as well. Even if they were arrested in the next chapter, even if they were arrested, Pharisees could not do nothing with them because a lot of people saw what happened. They knew it wouldn't be right to keep them. But they threatened them. They told them not to. They told them not to talk about Jesus Christ anymore. What they told them, they said, they told them they cannot listen to them. They would rather listen to God. Apostles did bring truth before the people. They brought truth before the Pharisees and the rulers. But they also brought a hope. Verse 17 says, And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did this, as did also your rulers, crucify the Lord and deny him. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath also fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. They told them they messed up. They told them the truth would happen and what kind of grave sin that was. But they also had a message to give them. And they called them brethren. I know you didn't do this. I know you did this through ignorance, as your rulers did as well. But this is what needs to happen now. Repent and convert. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ, who can give power to the person who never walked, to be able to stand, walk, and jump. Who can also heal you from your sins, who can also heal each and every one of us from our sins. We just need to come to him. And as brother prayed, we didn't choose him, he chose us. But we need to accept him. We cannot just say, oh, He chose me. I didn't choose him. So it's all lost. He chose each and every one of us. He chose everyone who's willing to follow him, who is willing to have a faith and accept his mercy. He chose each and every one of us. We just need to accept. We just need to die to old man, convert, and become his child. He wants this for each and every one of us. And through his grace, dear ones, and through faith that we have in Jesus Christ, this is all possible. May the Lord bless his words upon our hearts. Amen.
As we read this chapter and as we listen to the message, the thought crossed my mind of, just a simple thought, but the thought crossed my mind of how powerful, how unstoppable God's truth is. There's nothing that can stop it. Peter and John proclaimed that it was not by them that this man was made whole. No, but it was rather by faith in the name of Jesus that this man was made whole. It was not by their own power, not by their own holiness, but it was God's work through faith. And the next chapter we read that this man that was healed was above 40 years old, as was mentioned, over 40 years old and had never walked. And yet he walked, he leaped, he praised God. And the high priest and the religious leaders made Peter and John explain again, how is this man walking? By what power have you done this? And Peter and John had to repeat their answer. It's not by us, it's not by our own righteousness, no, but it's by Christ, by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. By this name, by faith in this name, can this man walk. And it's noted here that Peter and John had much boldness, and it says that the people here, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. So Peter and John were not some highly educated men that spoke with eloquent words. Far from that. And the people that heard them speak marveled. How are these unlearned, uneducated men, how are they able to speak the word of God in such boldness? How is this possible? And this is, again, the work of God. It's unstoppable. It doesn't take education, wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's foolishness. And it could not be stopped. And they commanded, the religious leaders commanded Peter and John not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, what is better? Think about, they told the religious leaders, think, what is better for us to listen to God or you? Judge for yourselves. But we're going to speak that which we heard from God. We cannot help but speak that, they said, which we have heard from God. Again, it's unstoppable. Nothing they could do, nothing the religious leaders, the Jews could do, could stop this truth from going forth. And after they had been questioned and punished and warned by the religious leaders, it says Peter and John went and gathered with other apostles, other servants of God, and they prayed and asked God to give unto them continued boldness to speak forth his word. And as they prayed this prayer, the place where they prayed shook. The building where they prayed together shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And it says that they spake the word of God with boldness. Their prayer was answered. They were able, in their unlearned, uneducated state, in their weakness, in their humility, they were able to speak the word of God with boldness. And I think how would Satan love to take the word of God and to destroy it so it can't be found. The devil would love nothing more than to remove the word of God from this earth so the men cannot find salvation. But it's here because God is so much more powerful than the devil. His truth is preserved down through the ages. We can read it. We can learn from it. And thanks be to God for that. That's because it's unstoppable. God's word, the Bible says, it descends from heaven like rain and waters the earth. It will accomplish that which God wants it to do. The word of God will not return void. It will accomplish that which God wants it to do. It will save. It will change men. Change men from their vile state, from their sin, from their wretchedness. It will change them. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe, and the devil can do nothing against us. There's nothing he can do to stop us because God is greater than him. Greater is he that is within us than he that is within this world. May that give us strength and comfort as we go throughout our lives day by day. Amen.